Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. On this special episode, I'm thrilled to be sharing a full episode for my Conversations with Commerce Next podcast, featuring exclusive holiday research with Forrester VP and Principal Analyst, Sujarita Kadali. I launched the Conversations with Commerce Next podcast with my U.S.-based partners to meet the top practitioners and thought leaders in the DTC and e-commerce marketing space and explore both their tradecraft and share for the learnings of their career journeys. Now let's have a listen to my podcast partner, Scott Silverman, as he introduces the episode with Sujarita, a frequent, popular guest here on The Voice of Retail. Welcome to the Conversations with Commerce Next podcast. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, and this podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Commerce Next and presented by Bloomreach.
So welcome, everyone, to Season 2 of Conversations with Commerce Next. Our sponsor this season is Bloomreach, so thank you for their support. This is going to be a different than our typical podcast where we sit down with an industry leader and get career and marketing advice, although I think that kind of conversation with our special guest today would be pretty interesting anyway. But today we're going to be digging into some new research that Commerce Next conducted over the last 2 weeks focused on holiday 2021. And we surveyed 84 merchants and asking them about expectations on margins, promotional levels, what their optimism is around the holiday season. And as we all have been reading in the news, it's a very unique holiday season, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But this is the second year in a row that we've done this, again, because we like to provide data to our community when things are not quite normal. So I want to give a big thank you to all of the retailers that took the survey. We couldn't do that without you. We really appreciate you giving us your data and letting us look at it in aggregate. And I want to thank our partner, Sujarita Kadali, who is the lead retail analyst at Forrester Research. And she is here to talk about the findings. We reached out to Sujarita a couple weeks ago and said we wanted to look into some of these holiday issues. And Sujarita is always game for receiving interesting data. So she jumped in, helped us with the survey, helped us with the analysis. So welcome, Sujarita, to Conversations with Commerce Next podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Scott. And it's always great to, you know, to spend time with you and Michael. So thrilled to be here. And thanks for inviting me to be part of the research process.
And always, as I'm joined here by my co-host, our podcasting co-host, Michael LeBlanc. So how are you, Michael?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you, Sujarita. We were saying off mic, I think the last time you and I saw each other in person was at the big show in January 2020. So it's great to see you virtually or otherwise. Nice to be
here. Right. It's like almost as if I'm you know, kind of in person with you.
It feels like it sometimes, right? So, I mean, that's a good kickoff to our first kind of line of questions. The new unnormal, the unnormal world, the post-COVID, COVID world. Last year's holiday season, I think retailers were big, borrowing and not stealing space on anything that could get a package to a doorstep. They were calling up Santa, seeing if there was any space on the red wagon. This year, again, we've got another interesting, unusual, as Scott said, unique holiday season. Could you talk a little bit about your observations of what has got us, what has led us here?
Well, certainly the pandemic continues. In much of the country, there's still a lot of concerns with consumers going out and about. So I would say that there's still that. But even aside from that, I think that the other issues are macroeconomic. So there's, of course, the supply chain issues. And what's different about the supply chain issues this year was that in the past, as you'd mentioned last year, it was usually a carrier issue. And we've been complaining about carrier issues for as long as I can remember. Like that never changes. And I think consumers typically have adjusted their behavior to accommodate for that, or retailers just basically budget that in to their marketing plans and what they look to promote. But what's different this year is the rest of the supply chain. It's the forward part of the supply chain. It's the factories overseas not producing enough or on time. There are the container ships. There's the trucking shortages, which are really global in nature. And that also is a segue to the other big problem, which is labor shortages. So even the survey showcased that there were more concerns around labor shortages, particularly in warehouses and supply chain areas, than in a lot of other concerns that retailers had. And all of that leads to inflation. There are other reasons, of course, for inflation that aren't as retail specific, related to interest rates and
macro
money
stuff,
supply and shortages in a lot of manufacturing, a lot of B2B issues that have led to inflation as well. But there's the inflation issue, and the inflation issue, interestingly, seems to have a big impact on consumer confidence, which doesn't make there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance there, because the economy is doing pretty well otherwise. Employment is relatively strong. Most consumers are pretty flush with cash because they spent the last year and a half saving more than they've ever saved. So it is otherwise a fairly strong economic situation, but the confidence levels are lower than what you would expect. So, and you see that reflected in things like Biden's approval ratings and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are just very unusual this year. Then in retail, there are other factors that are different. Like Amazon has a new CEO. If we were to even look back last week, interestingly, there was almost not a peep spoken about 11/11, Singles Day, which typically is like the story of November until Black Friday comes along. And I think that there was like an article in the South China Morning Post, and that was about it. You know, I mean, there was just not a lot spoken about Singles Day this year. And the numbers were pretty lackluster too. So there's a lot that's different this year.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack. What an opening volley in terms of the conversation. There's about 10 different directions we can go, kind of like the 10 different directions. I feel like all these issues are going right on the positive side. As you say, we've got this stockpile of consumer cash that's stored up from a lack of doing other things, unintentional savings that are at record rates. You've got inflation driving that. You've got, this stockpile covering up the impacts of inflation. If I pay an extra dollar, not such a big deal. We've got, retailers pulling playbooks out from the 70s. What does stagflation look like? Is stagflation happening next? And I love what you're talking about in the supply chain. I was speaking with a retailer last week, and he said, listen, we've got lots of product on order. We've got lots of stock. But for a lot of the promotional items, we just don't know when they're going to arrive. We would have had those long locked down weeks, if not months ago, particularly the Black Friday, Cyber Monday deals that they do many, many, many months in advance. So it's really created a dynamic. This isn't a supply chain podcast, though it seems everyone in retail is talking about supply chain. It's more about the impacts on marketing. And that's what we wanted to dig into with this survey. It really kind of says, okay, all that being said, which was a great introduction, what is it that some of the retailers came forward with in terms of how they're adapting, changing, or what they're doing to adapt to these yet again unusual circumstances?
Well, the biggest thing that stood out to me was a relatively large number of respondents said that they were going to cut back on promotions during their key timeframes. So there are really two types of promotions, really, right? There's the shipping promotions, and then there's the price discounts and the X percent off of everything, or X dollars if you spend Y dollars, those kinds of promotions. And it sounds like both of those are going to be reduced pretty substantially. About a third of the respondents almost across the board said that they are planning on reducing their Black Friday, Cyber Monday promotions. They are planning on reducing even their December promotional volume, which I thought was really, really interesting, because these are big shopping time frames. Yeah. Usually, most retailers, their biggest days, especially for digital retailers. It's Cyber Monday is almost, which is the brainchild of Scott, has historically been the biggest shopping day for most retailers. And it doesn't look like it'll be that way this year, or if it is, it'll be a very modest increase over over 2020. The other piece is the number of retailers that said that they're going to cut back on shipping promotions. And from the survey, it appeared that at least 50%, if not more than that, are going to cut back on shipping in some way. And it'll be all manner of cutting back on shipping, whether it is the thresholds will be higher, the number of days that they're offering free shipping will be reduced. And that's a big deal because we've known for years how important shipping is to driving conversion. And they're doing all of this because they just don't have the inventory to support it.
Right.
And what is interesting is that to the point about, kind of when is this product going to arrive? Well, it's probably going to arrive in January and, or it's going to arrive in December. So actually think that what will happen is what we may have missed with a Black Friday or Cyber Monday promotion is just going to be pushed out to January because you have two factors. You have both like the late arrival, but then you probably have a bunch of retailers that overordered in the first place, thinking that, we need to get this stuff and let's just try to, kind of overcompensate and hope that it arrives. And then when it doesn't arrive, you end up with too much in January. At least that's what Captain thinks.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, retailers who had the means to do so, and of course, the supply chain challenges favor larger retailers, more sophisticated, more planned out from a supply chain perspective. Not everyone can rent a boat, their own boat, but I think the risk is: did you get the right stuff? Did you make the right bets? We've got stuff, but is it the right stuff? Because it's not the just in time. One of the other interesting things that I was looking through the survey is encouraging consumers to shop earlier. And the idea of modifying the whole marketing plan is super, super interesting, even from a tactical level. Here in Canada, there's a lot of flyers, for example, print flyers, which have a long lead time. That's tough to manage. And I love your point about, the post-Cyber Monday, post-Black Friday. As you know, in the UK and here in Canada, we have this great event called Boxing Day, which is actually the third largest event. And maybe that might be a net import into the US, because merchants, by the way, love Boxing Day, because if you make any wrong bets, you got another kick at the can later on post holiday. What do you think? Did you see any of that reflected in the survey?
Well, interestingly, only 7% of the survey respondents said that they planned on having sales in Q1. But I just think that they didn't have enough visibility to know how much inventory they're going to have. And to your point, Michael, about like even the large merchants, I mean, I think Walmart just released its numbers and they have their own container ships and even they don't have the inventory that they need. Yeah. So their inventory on hand numbers are lower than this time last year. So I think that this is just systemic and it's affecting everyone, including the largest retailers, and the smaller ones will absolutely, kind of have, bear the biggest brunt of it because they also don't have the stop gaps. They may not have the dropship or the marketplace merchandise that could make this up. But to your point about the post kind of December 25th holidays, traditionally, that is a huge time in general. Like 10% of all of holiday sales happen between December 25th and January 1 anyway. So the idea of more of that merchandise being on sale for longer, I think, is absolutely a logical outcome of all this. Most of what is purchased anyway on these big sale dates, it's not gifting. It's purchases for self anyhow. It is usually... Yeah. Things that you were planning on buying for a house renovation or things that you had your eye on for like a television. And
you just hold off.
Exactly. So if the sale isn't available in November, people are just going to wait for when that sale is available. So, yeah. And if that happens to be in January or February, whenever the merchandise arrives, that's when the consumer will purchase. So I think that's almost an inevitable outcome. Unless somebody raised this the other day, which is like, well, maybe they'll just hold on to the inventory for next year, which is possible. We saw that through the early part of the pandemic, as you heard a lot of retailers saying, oh, we're just going to hold on to the inventory, because, we'll just wait for another year, I guess you can do when demand is low, but demand isn't particularly lower. It's just that the merchandise isn't there. And,
For seasonal merchandise, that's the playbook, right? I mean, the artificial Christmas tree arrived on, December 26th.
Yes.
There's no market for that tree. So just put it, just put it in a warehouse.
That stuff sold at cost. You're right.
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark style size warehouse.
If you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure and hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss another great episode. We'll be right back with our interview with Sucharita Caudalie from Forrester right after this important message. Bloomreach is the world's number one e-commerce experience cloud, empowering brands to deliver customer journeys so personalized they feel like magic. It offers a suite of products that drive true personalization and digital commerce growth, including discovery, offering AI-driven search and merchandising, content, offering a headless CMS, and engagement, offering a leading CDP and marketing automation solution. Together, these solutions combine the power of unified customer and product data with the speed and scale of AI optimization, enabling digital commerce experiences that convert on any channel and every journey. Learn more at bloomreach.com. That's bloomreach.com.
Now, you're a veteran of doing this. You and I have worked together. You've looked at a lot of research. From this research, did anything surprise you? Did anything jump out and go, I wasn't expecting to see that? Anything come to mind?
Well, definitely the lower promotions was probably one of the biggest findings from that. I think that what we'll end up seeing is sales on what is available. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to be sales, because as we mentioned, only a third said they're going to reduce their sales. So about half are going to probably keep the same sales, and a small percent are going to actually increase the sale volume. But the sale volume, I think, is going to be on very different merchandise. It may not be site-wide. It may be on select items. So I think that those are some of the big, kind of differences that we see this year, or that we will see this year versus last year. The other thing that I would say was also, it's probably not surprising, but the data highlighted it, is just the continued concerns around slow shipments. So, it doesn't dominate the media quite as much. I mean, we don't have like Shipageddon stories. But I think that, kind of retailers are already anticipating that. I think a huge percent of retailers say that their shipping cutoff is going to be like 2 weeks before Christmas, which suggests that they're expecting some pretty slow packages toward the end.
Right.
So I think that we'll see a lot of. I think that the standard shipping offer is like 5 days plus, according to a significant portion. I can just look it up here. It's like a huge percent of the 43% of respondents said that they're, it's going to take them 5 days at least.
That's a big shift, right? I mean, the race has been speed to the doorstep, not pace to the doorstep in 5 days, right? That's a big change.
And we saw that over and over in a number of the quotes from the respondents was, it's all about inventory this year. And if you have it, that is, you're way ahead of the game.
You're blessed. You're blessed.
Don't even worry about how long it's going to take. People are happy to just get the stuff by, the end of December.
So one of the questions we asked the retailers was, how aware do they think their customers are of these supply chain issues? And I suppose the fulfillment issues as well. And they seem to indicate that their customers are fairly aware, which makes sense when it's been a big news item. It's been a punchline on SNL, for example. And their response is that they want to encourage customers to shop early, which I think they tried last year to limited success. I think it's something they're always trying to do. Do you think retailers can finally get customers to shop earlier, even chronic procrastinators like me?
Well, I don't think it's happened yet. And to your point, I mean, you can keep goading people, but the way that you encourage people to shop earlier is you need those deep discounts. And we haven't seen those deep discounts yet. And we haven't seen those deep discounts because there's not the merchandise to discount. So no, I don't think that, that it's going to be that successful. But, how hard is it to send out an email and ask people to do that? If a few people purchase earlier, more power to them. But for the most part, I think you'll continue to see the cadence that we've seen in the past, like 10% of people start their holiday shopping in like October, maybe half of people decide to shop sometime in November, and the rest are December or late December shoppers, and they get what they get, and they're fine with whatever is available at that point in time. I think that early shopping idea is most important. And I think that the people who already have their eye on a particular item are probably well aware of that. So if it's a particular item, there makes it's no sense to wait because you are going to, you're not going to get what you want probably at the price that you want. And you're going to be stuck probably purchasing, kind of the Air Force Ones you want on Goat or StockX or somewhere, at a much more inflated price. But if you're open for substitutes, I think it'll be fine. There's plenty of supply of substitutes. And I think that's I think where most of the merchandise will end up, kind of flowing to. And it actually is great because this is actually something that we saw through the pandemic is that if there's short supply, people just open their eyes to other merchants. They open their eyes to other product categories. And this just helps everybody. It helps, especially the long tail. And I think that we'll see more of that this holiday season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see if how willing customers are to accept alternatives. And although there are some outlets to get what they want, like you said, in the marketplaces. But as far as keeping customers informed about the delivery and the fulfillment issues, we saw in the survey that they're going to be emailing the customers, there'll be persistent messages on the website. There's some other things that they're going to be doing, like shipping information on the product page. Like, you're looking at a product and it'll say this product ships on X date. What else do you think these are the best tactics, and what else do you think they can do? I mean, or is it there's only so much you can do to get people to focus and when they're so hardwired to want something and want it at a certain time?
Yeah, if you don't have the merchandise, the survey said 69% of retailers are just going to do some kind of email communication. 44% said that they're going to have persistent messaging on the site or shipping information on product detail pages. 27% said that they're going to include it in the order information, FAQs, or the FAQs that include the order information. And 9% said they're actually going to have pop-ups on their site to inform people of this. But I think that the bigger issue is that there was probably a pretty easy way to have solved this a long time ago. And that's invest in marketplaces and dropship. I mean, this is the reason that, kind of companies that have been supporting this and offering these products have been pushing this is exactly in scenarios like this, where, if you are short, you can leverage an ecosystem of sellers who can step in and share what they have. And when you don't have that, that is where you lose share to the large marketplaces. And I think that, email communication is nice, FAQs, great, but what are you doing? You're just communicating that either we don't have the product or it's going to show up late. Even better is to have the product or have a product, right?
In some way, shape, or form, exactly. In any way, shape, or form, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so shame on everybody who's sat around dawdling or, twiddling their thumbs on this issue, because we've known this is an issue. Like, you know, I mean, this is something that happens in some way all the time. And, you know, the playbook on, you know, kind of mastering marketplaces and dropship, which are very similar, by the way. I mean, you know, the nuances are, you know, kind of very deep in the, you know, kind of technicalities of merchant of record and, you know, who bears liability, et cetera, et cetera. But
from the consumer's perspective, it's a distinction without a difference, really.
I mean, yeah. From the consumer's perspective, it's endless aisle. And, you know, and, you know, I mean, and where some of the clumsiness does come is if you launch a marketplace without vetting the sellers and without knowing, you know, the quality of the sellers that you're working with. But over, I mean, this has happened for, you know, this has been something that, you know, has existed for so long now that nobody should be inventing the wheel on this. Like, you can learn from the best players that have integrated it. You can.
Good tech. There's good tech out there if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Launch your marketplace.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that that's the, you know, the opportunity. I mean, I recognize it. Like, years ago, I was, you know, remember when the solar eclipse happened in the United States? It was, you know, it was a big thing. And I looked for solar eclipse glasses, and I waited until the last minute. And of course, it was sold out everywhere. They were sold out everywhere. And, you know, I had to spend like $100 on like Amazon with some seller to get them. But that's like typical. Like, I expect that we'll probably see a lot of that over and over again this holiday season. If you're looking for something in particular and somebody's waited until the last minute, if you really want it, you're just going to pay what it takes to get it. And, you know, it's not going to be a huge percent of people, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, but the marketplace is the one that makes the sale, and the seller that has that item is the one that makes the sale, not, you know, everybody else who, you know, insisted on only owning all of their inventory.
I mean, one of the interesting things I thought from the survey was the question around margins, their expectations mm-hmm. around those. And I came into this thinking that margins would be higher because it would be less promotional. There would be higher prices. They've been passing along inflation to customers and so on. But we didn't see that. And it's I'm interested to hear your take on that. And they were also, you know, even despite reporting expectations of lower margins, they're not necessarily being more promotional. I suppose they can't if they don't have the product. But yeah, what's your take on that?
Yes, that was one of the most puzzling questions, because what we saw is the majority of people all believe that sales will do better, certainly than compared to pre-pandemic. And a huge percent also believe sales will be better than even last year. However, a huge percent, not quite 50, but a significant double-digit percent, I think it was like almost 40%, who think that margins will be lower. Now, we have inflation and we have fewer promotions. So margins shouldn't be lower, because those are things that drive your margins up, not down. So it was a little bit of a puzzling finding from the study. So my thinking is that maybe people are budgeting in disappointment, and some of the make goods that they need to accommodate, like, for instance, they maybe they have to pay for expedited shipping to get things to people, or they're going to have more support in the call center during key dates, or they're going to have to give concessions to shoppers more than they have before, and that is going to decrease the margin levels. That's the only thing I can think of, because
I've heard a couple of other things. One is, for some of the larger merchants, their inventory cost of capital has gone through the roof. In other words, they've got inventory sitting around for many months that they would not have. So they're tying up capital. They've got third-party warehouses. So there's some cost in the getting ready for the season with the amount of inventory. You know, we hear the cost of the supply chain just skyrocketing. $5,000 containers become $25,000 containers. And then people costs are going up, right? We started a little bit of that, and it's kind of a segue to my question is you know, the war for talent, both at the front lines and behind the scenes, is going up. Rates are going up, not down. And of course, retail is still very much a people business. And did you want to speak to that part, the people part that came out in the survey and thoughts from retailers on that?
Yeah. No, you're right. As I'm thinking, you know, kind of as you're mentioning it, you're absolutely right. We do hear a lot about things like those, you know, everything is more expensive. And then a lot of retailers have decided to air freight things. So I guess that's the where some of those costs could be happening too, is just, you know, the higher logistics costs, to your point of getting things from point A to point B. As far as labor is concerned, this has been something that, as an industry, it's inevitable, right? For years, we've been talking about a living wage. The Europeans have already been there for you know, over a decade. You know, you started to see it years ago in the dense urban areas, whether it was New York or Seattle, where you had these minimum $15 an hour, you know, minimum wage, you know, statutes basically in municipalities. And that was something that was really, you know, likely to catch fire and grow to many more communities, many more states, you know, just inevitably. And plus you had things like the Affordable Care Act that were there to support workers, but nonetheless did increase the cost of operation for some retailers
and hiring costs too, right? I mean, you know the pandemic, we can't forget. There's a lot of people retired who are saying, "Listen, I may or may not feel safe working in a store. I'm going to sit this one out." So a lot of retailers are having to restaff. I mean, there's a lot of just, you know, sand in the gears of margin, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right? There's just all these things that are coming together. All right. So it is December 26th, January 31st, February 5th. You're sitting down looking at the data. What do you think you're going to see? Winners, losers, category, business models? You've already spoken well. Those of the marketplace have a leg up. Any other thoughts from Forrester and the magic eight ball or crystal ball that you have at your disposal?
Well, Forrester's projections are that retail overall will probably be relatively flat in 2021 over 2020. And e-commerce, though, will grow in the low double digits. So 2020 over 2019 was like 25% year-over-year growth for November and December. So it'll probably be half of that in 2021 over 2020. So it'll be a haircut, a pretty significant haircut over the growth rates, but it's still growth and that's good.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, anybody who's got inventory should see numbers going up. Unless you have a dismal inventory situation, you just have nothing to sell. Execution from a shipping standpoint, like you know, you should do okay because it's still, you know, there's still
demand out there.
There are people who need to buy stuff. Absolutely.
All right. Last question. Then I'm going to pass it back to Scott to say, to thank you for both doing the survey and joining us today. It's February, 2022. You're a retailer, you're a marketer, you're sitting down trying to figure out what and how the playbook is different for 2022. Any thoughts around, tips or advice about things retailers should be thinking of from a marketing tactics, customer relationship perspective?
In 2022, I think that, well, what I'll say is that, in having done a lot of these surveys over the years, the tactics don't change that tremendously. Like, you know, I mean, when we would do surveys like in the early 2000s and then like 20 years later, we're, you know, kind of asking the same questions, like, you know, it still came down to paid search and email and, you know, the Facebook started growing a little bit. I guess like some people.
Metaverse. For 2022,
you better be metaverse or
shopping avatars. That's new,
right? We're all going to be in the Matrix in 2022. Not,
I think we already are, by the way, based on what just happened over the last 18 months. I think we already are, but anyway,
Yeah, that we'll save that discussion for another time. But yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of the core tactics don't change. There'll be more experimentation around the margin, whether it is, you know, more video marketing or whether it is more podcast marketing or, you know, I mean, it's whatever, you know, if there are new media formats that emerge, we'll see more of that. Like the big media format now that people are talking a lot about are retail media networks, which is basically the advertising right. on sites like Walmart and Target. And, you know, that could be a game changer for some brands. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to, you know, transform digital marketing for the average Shopify seller, but it could be, you know, kind of a sizable shift in how the media mix is for maybe a P&G. That's something that is worth, you know, watching and keeping an eye on.
So, well, first of all, thank you so much, Sucharita. Always giving us a lot to think about. We really appreciate you being part of our community, being a part of this survey, taking some time to go through the results. I think that'll be really helpful information for everyone that's in the midst of all of this craziness right now. So we really appreciate that. Look forward to seeing how it all plays out and you know, staying in touch with you and seeing what you're talking about as the season goes on. So thank you again. Have a great Thanksgiving, a great holiday season, and look forward to touching base with you in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. Thanks to all the retailers that responded. And be sure to get a copy of the PowerPoint that has all the findings.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Conversations with Commerce Next. Please follow us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast platform, where we will be sharing career advice and marketing strategies from e-commerce and digital marketing leaders at retailers and direct-to-consumer brands each and every episode. Commerce Next is a community, event series, and conference for marketers at retail and direct-to-consumer brands. Through our online forums, interviews, webinars, summits, and other in-person events, we harness the collective wisdom of our community to help marketers grow their businesses and advance their careers. Join Commerce Next events to meet other industry leaders and learn the latest e-commerce and marketing strategies. You can find upcoming events at commercenext.com. Have a fantastic week, everyone.